Hey, happy Hearthstone listeners. Want to let you know up front that the audio is a bit subpar on this episode than I would have liked. Unfortunately, the recording software technique stuff that we used made things really not cool. I had to spend a lot longer repairing this episode and making sure everything was in sync and lined up right. So if you hear a few pops here and there, something like that, I really apologize about that. I'll be sure to use a much better technique and software next time. It's still definitely listenable. It's a great ride. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. So let's get going. You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. I cannot possibly say thank you enough to those of you who have jumped on the Patreon since our last episode or who have increased your pledge, so I'm going to thank each of you by name real quick. Trevor Y, Zerocio, Chris M, Itamar, Dave M, Navalis, Matt at Arms, Vlad Wildstone, Robert Y, Rich M, and Cornaforos, thank you guys so much. You can join them and get exclusive perks and help support the show at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Hello and welcome to episode 113 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and I am just on cloud nine. You guys are absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure many of you already know from starting off the weekly episodes last week that, put the call to arms out there to you guys and you responded so wildly generously, and I'm really excited to talk more about that as we go on in the show. But really thankful that for this show, I actually have one of our awesome patrons who reached out a while back, and finally excited to get him on this show. He's a Twitch streamer, he's a competitor, and we'll get to talk a little bit about that in the whole Hearthstone world. And he's become a good friend too. I'm joined by Typical Tyrant. What's going on, man?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Really excited to have you. Now, I found out right before the show started that you're a Pittsburghian, or maybe there's a better word for that. Do you guys have
We're from Pittsburgh here. It's P-I-X. That's how we pronounce it.
Now, why is that?
I don't know. We slur all of our words. There's like 15 like hyphenations in everything we say.
So a Pittsburgh slang. Then. Okay, Pittsburgh, yeah. So you're coming all the way from the East Coast, but man, really excited to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So lots going on in the Hearthstone world. I'm sure your head is spinning a little bit as much as all of us are. But I really want to hear from you, man, because I know, I feel like I actually learned a lot about you right before we started recording. You mentioned a little bit of a Magic the Gathering background, even perhaps a content creation gig when you were very young, but I want to hear about you, man. How did you come and stumble into this world of Hearthstone?
Well, I started off playing Magic the Gathering competitively. I probably played that for about 15 years since I was like 13 years old. Yeah.
It's a big old chunk of your life.
Yeah. Card games have been over half my life. I've been slinging cardboard.
That's awesome.
I've always been a Blizzard fan. I've been playing Blizzard games since Diablo 1 when I was 8 years old.
Nice.
And when I heard that they made a card game, I was a little skeptical because it was an online card game. I don't know. But I got poked and prodded to try it, and I played through the introduction and I was immediately hooked. Immediately. Mm. And from that point on, I just decided, like, this is what I want to play. This is the game. And here I am still playing it.
So what was it about it that really captured you? Because if you've got this card game background, I mean, I assume that you just enjoy kind of the dynamics of that. But was there anything specifically about Hearthstone that really drew you in and said, man, I could really get into this?
The biggest thing about it is just how accessible the game is. Just the fact that the one thing that is a little bothersome about playing other traditional card games is that if you want to go to and compete in any sort of fashion, even if it's Magic has a thing called Friday Night Magic, where you would go in on a shop on Friday and play in a small tournament, mm-hmm. very local. And, but you have to drive to a location to play. Like, you have to be in front of somebody to play.
Right.
And this eliminates that. If I want to play competitively or casually or whenever, I just open the client on my computer or on my phone, which is amazing to me, and it can play the game at any competitive level that I want. And that fact alone really pulled me to the game.
So not the fact that they didn't have a tournament mode, because I'm guessing you're still waiting for that. How is that going to blow up your Hearthstone play when that happens?
Oh, I'm so excited when they announced that. It's just like the sun opened in the heavens and shined on me. It was amazing. Like, that was the best thing I heard all year. It's going to really revolutionize the game, I think, because tournament play, a lot of people haven't gotten to experience it yet, whether they feel intimidated by it or they don't want to go to an event or so forth. Their main experience with it competitively is ladder. But I really think once tournaments become more accessible for people to play and client, that people are going to really enjoy that type of play.
Now, I know we're going to talk a little bit later about your tournament prowess, but you and I, like, were ships passing in the night at DreamHack Denver, because we were both there, but we didn't know where each other were. Somehow we connected afterwards, but I know that you've also recently stopped over at the HGT competition in Toronto as well. Was this something that you always knew that you would get into with Hearthstone? I mean, especially when you were competitive with Magic in the past, or is this something that you've kind of stumbled into?
I was pretty confident that I would end up doing it eventually. I traveled pretty far to go to Magic the Gathering tournaments. I wouldn't say I was spectacular by any means, but I would go halfway across the country for a Grand Prix or something, no question asked.
Sure, yeah.
It was just, okay. It was my hobby. It's what I did. And, you know, I'm going to go play.
Right.
But when when I started playing Hearthstone, and slowly Hearthstone became my focus over Magic the Gathering. And at this point, it's the longest I've spent actually not playing Magic. I don't do the tournaments in that game anymore, I'm going to do them in something else. And Hearthstone has that outlet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I agree with you that I think that the tournament mode really is going to make an impact, because it's weird how Hearthstone can kind of slither into just about everyone's life. That sounds so slimy. How it can sneak into? No, that's bad too. It can drop like a rainbow out of heaven.
There we go. I like that.
into just about anyone's life. But Magic was something where you really had to, I mean, especially back before Amazon was really a thing, you had to go to the card store, and like, you were already sort of integrated with Hearthstone. You just download it on your phone and your entire realm can be ladder. It could even just be casual. Like, I had a buddy in Oklahoma that I lived with for a few months who he played the innkeeper every day. Like, that was Hearthstone to him, was just playing against the innkeeper. That's all he wanted to do. So I think it really is going to be exciting to see how tournament mode, or I guess we don't have an exact name for it or anything, but how that whole concept really shakes up things and kind of gets people more connected than before. Because Fireside Gatherings have kind of done that to a point, but I think that there's a whole other dimension that we have yet to explore with the tournament and competitive scene.
Right. And all honesty, and this has been said time and time again, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but and this will take a while, but once we have the tournaments being more and more through the client, over through a lot of other websites, they have to sign into and click on this and check in on that and take screenshots and upload it to this website and send it to this one guy on Discord. It'll just streamline it, because I was surprised by a number of people who told me they never did an online tournament because the process was intimidating. And by bringing it onto the client, so many more people are going to be introduced to that type of play. It's going to be really fun.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, because there's options to do it online right now through like Strivewire or Smash. And a few others I'm sure I'm just not as familiar with, but like, if you want to be competitive online, you can. It's just not simple and easy access and quick and broad spectrum. Obviously, any Hearthstone player will be able to find something that's right in the client right there, as opposed to someone who thinks, I want to compete competitively online. Let me search Google and do some research and find out what the best places are.
Exactly. You know, it's another time that Blizzard and Hearthstone provide something where anybody can play how they want to play the game at any point just within the client. And I think that's a great direction to go.
That's key. Well, that's really exciting. I mean, it almost fills my heart with happiness to the point where I need to ask you, Tyrant, why you're happy today.
I'm happy because I'm still riding the energy from EGLX, to be completely honest with you. I'm just, anytime I go to one of those events, it just lights that fire to make me want to play more Hearthstone.
Wait, and what is EGLX for our listeners who may not know?
EGLX, which I am not entirely sure what it stands for, Electronic Games something Expo.
That's okay.
It is an esports event in Canada, and there was a HCT tour stop there. And if you pay entry into the event, you're able to go into the HCT tour stop for free. It's an open event, so anybody could sign up. Doesn't matter if you had never played a game of Hearthstone in your life. You could sit down and play if you wanted to. And it was an exciting event. It's always a blast. Big names are there. You get to talk the game. You're surrounded by people who are passionate about what you're passionate about. And that just creates you get to see the community in person instead of,
oh, totally.
You know, and that's it's a cool environment. And I really miss that from Magic the Gathering. And so I love going to these events and just talking with people and socializing and sharing that thing that we all love, you know.
How did this one compare to other tournaments that you've been to?
It was a little smaller, but it was a really nice venue. They ran everything without a hitch. It was streamlined perfectly. I think it was my favorite venue that I've gone to, and how like the tournament was structured and dealt with. I don't think there was one hiccup during the entire event. And
wow, that's significant.
Yeah. So there was a lot of work put into it on the back end. So, you know, applaud those guys who double and triple checked every wire and every hookup. That's a lot of work. So it was a really good time.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about just having functional internet for that many people at once, and my mind kind of gets blown. So maybe my IT friends could tell me differently that it's not that big of a deal. for me, at least, I'm just like, man, I start thinking about that, and every person has to be just exactly right. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's impressive. You know, I've worked in IT, and not only did I have the Hearthstone tournament going on, they had five other tournaments going on. They had
There's other stuff too.
Right. You know, they have a free-to-play LAN and another section. They have demo booths. So they have easily thousands of devices hooked up, and they had to configure and they made it, and not one person that I'm aware of at least had a networking issue. I could end up being wrong there, but I know no one near me or myself had one, so that's all I can speak for.
Wow. And where was this held? Did you mention that?
It was listed in Toronto, Canada, but it was actually in a city that I am going to butcher the name of.
Because you're not Canadian. Yeah,
Mississauga. I think is
okay. Something along those lines.
Yeah. Any fellow Canadian listeners, correct me in the future. Send me an angry tweet.
I know we have several, so you guys can tweet at us, and we'll give you that at the end and tell us exactly how to say that. But I'm glad to hear it was such a good experience, man.
Yeah, it was awesome. Glad to be back, though.
That's great. I'm sure there's something about visiting a new land. There's another about returning home.
I like my bed. I missed it.
I don't know your bed, but I do like my own bed. And so if it's anything like that, I would agree. Well, I'm happy today because I'm actually looking out ahead at the week that's to come. And my boss is going to be out of town for this week. So I'm sure all of you guys who do a 9-to-5 can relate that in a good working environment, which I am in, I believe, I like the people that I work with and everything, and including my boss and my coworkers and everything. There's a special energy when everyone's there and there's just ideas and excitement and brainstorming and this and that and stuff. And then there's also a special energy when kind of like you get to really focus on your work and there's not as many distractions because you're sort of plugged in and just able to kind of workhorse it out. So I'm looking forward to that because I don't think I've actually had that since I jumped on. And we've had a lot of changes at my work. just structure wise and everything like that. But my boss is great. I'm super thankful for him. I just think that this week is going to be a little, it's going to be special because I have my long list of stuff to do and I'm just going to churn it out. And sometimes it just feels good to kind of, I don't know how you work, Tyron, but I like to just throw on my headphones, turn on some metal or podcasts and just go at it. A lot of my work is like writing or researching internet stuff. Yeah, I usually tell my wife that you can tell how hard I work today based off how many metal songs I listen to. So I don't know. That could just be me, but I'm sure there's others.
I get it. You know, there's something about the energy that happens in the place when the boss isn't next door, mm-hmm. isn't in the room. You know, ideas mix better. You feel like you have more freedom. You know, mm-hmm. There's something about the air. Like my old boss, I loved him, but you know, when he was there, you felt a little bit of pressure. It's just, yeah. You know, there's to perform to expectation, you know.
I got to get this out. I got to do this. Yeah,
exactly.
And for me, I think it's more of, I typically go into work thinking I need to make some margin in my day because I don't know what brand new idea my boss is going to come up with that's genius and needs to happen, but is going to make me reshift my priorities significantly. And this week, there's not going to be any of that. At least I don't think. Who knows? He might sign on here or there and let me know. But for the most part, it's going to be a nice nose to the grindstone, get her done. I don't know. I'll feel American, I'm sure, by doing work, right?
There we go. That work ethic.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. Well, let's talk about the news in Hearthstone that's going on. There's not a lot of big stuff necessarily. There were some smaller things kind of with the legend ladder that honestly is just so small, it's not even worth mentioning. But I guess now that I've said it, there were some bugs at the beginning of the month when they swapped over the ladder system that legend players, there were a few people who actually were able to get to legend with one win. So when the dust settled from the hot fixes and everything they had to do after shutting down the ladder for a day, there were some people that were at rank 1-5 stars and they won one game and they got into legend very, very high. And those players didn't really have any incentive to play again because if I'm at a top rank, why would I need to play other than deterioration and stuff? It led to an unhealthy place where some legend players actually weren't playing at all. So they added a stipulation that in order to place in the top 200, which I think is where you get HTT points, you have to play at least 30 games when you're in the legend, or maybe it's throughout the entire month. I'm sure you could correct me on that, Tyrant.
Yeah, I think it's 30 games total playing on standard ladder. I'm glad they made that change because it was such a weird little issue, and it's unfortunate because they constantly have to make these mild corrections, you know, to fix from an issue that happened, you know, 2-3 weeks ago now. But it's good because you don't want a situation where people are squatting on a rank starting day 5 into the season. Yeah. That's not it. You want to promote the healthy competition, you know. And so making them play at least 30 games, and although that's not tons of games, you know, if they play 30 games in the top 50 legend bracket and they win 30 to 35 of them and stay around where they were, then they deserve to be there. And, you know, so
absolutely,
I'm happy with that.
It was a good after the case change, I think, that isn't going to affect a lot of us. But for the ultra competitive, it's good to know at least that that's there. Something that may affect more of us is in the arena. So they recently made these changes where now instead of getting picks by rarity, you're getting picks by power level of cards. So hopefully you guys have gotten a chance to check this out. I did a couple of runs myself, which were not very profitable. And I'm not sure if my arena skills need a bit of coaching or what. I think I got 4 wins and 3 wins or something, which is fine. You break even, but it's like, I don't want to invest in Cobalt and Catacombs packs anymore. I gotta save up, you know? But they made a little hot fix that they were hearing from a lot of people that have felt like you were just getting many more legendaries than typical, and that you were getting a lot more powerful cards. So it felt like you had this just behemoth of a deck. And I think for a short time that felt good, but overall they said that's not what we want from Arena, that just everyone has a powerful deck. So they put something in there now so that the legendary offering is going to be less than it was before. And also you're going to see more of the less powerful cards as well. So it'll probably balance things out similar to where it was before, but I think it'll still be healthy overall just because the picks are much more difficult in my experience. Have you gotten to play any Arena, Tyrant?
Yeah, I made sure to play a few games. I don't play tons of Arena, but I'll be honest, I probably play at least one Arena run a day.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's a good casual game. It gets me back on my toes. If I want to play some ladder, I might warm up with an Arena game or two. But I did play before they patched it, and I agree it was actually better than it was before. But it was just power cards out the wazoo. And I think I could be wrong on this, but I think they're also widening the range that the cards get paired together with, because people were saying that they were like the matchups were so close that picks were often the same for some classes because there weren't a lot of cards of the same power level. So if Priest was getting Psychic Scream paired with cards like Primordial Drake very commonly. So you had to choose between either getting powerful creature drops or a big board sweeper. And so you had to make that decision fairly early. So this hopefully will mix it up a little more. And it doesn't feel so structured, because I know some Arena specialists were saying that the picks were getting predictable already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but, you know, again, Blizzard doing it and Team 5 doing it faster and better than they've ever handled Arena. Noticed it, tweaking it a little bit. We'll see where it is now. We'll wait a couple of weeks. And if they feel like they need to tweak it again, I say more power to them, because that's what keeps Arena fun and fresh.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And I just love how quickly they're responding to feedback from the community, too. Arena has sort of been in I guess they're probably in a better place where they can modify offerings and stuff by percentage points and just do that pretty quickly. But the fact that they are actually doing it, not just that they have the ability to do it, it's pretty exciting and encouraging for all of us.
Absolutely. I'm glad they're really showing Arena that attention in that respect. And plus the new cards have been really fun, by the way. I don't know if you've played any of them.
Oh, no, I didn't get any of them. I totally forgot about that. They had the one class card for each.
Yeah.
One card for each class that's exclusive to Arena. Which one were you able to get?
I got the Priest one, which that one is like give a player a friendly minion and then you draw three cards.
Which is
interesting.
For like one mana, right?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember how much mana it is, but it's super cheap. It's like one or two mana or something like that. But it's a really cool card generation thing. I am hard picking Shaman, though, to eventually get that Crackling Doom.
Oh my gosh.
That looks like zero mana, just kill everything.
Deal 8 damage, 15 damage to the board. I can't even remember.
I can't.
But it overloads you for 10, so that's the big tough thing. I mean, if you get an Eternal Sentinel that you can reset, that's fantastic, but I mean, still really good just to have a flat out clear everything that doesn't discard your whole hand like Deathwing does.
Exactly. They just have a consistent blow up everything. And not only do they get to blow up everything, you go zero mana, your board is gone. Oh, I'll now play my cards because I spent zero mana for that.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm going to finish up the rest of my turn with whatever I feel like.
Board clear into Lich King is a pretty good turn.
Oh my gosh. If you get Lich King, that's not even fair.
No, it's not. That sounds like a nightmare.
Let me check this out real quick. Looks like the Priest card is called Generous Spirit, and it is 2 mana. And the Crackling Doom deals 12 damage to all minions. Just had to verify that for sure. So I guess if you do some Divine Spirit shenanigans, you could actually get yourself outside of that. I thought the warrior card, Blazing Longsword, the 3 mana, 2 attack, 3 durability weapon, also damages minions next to whomever your hero attacks. Like, it seems like some good, like, board removal for Warrior. So
that looks like a really good card too. That's a super high value card. All of them are, I think. I'm not sure which one I would call the best, but I think all of them are pretty strong picks for all the classes.
Yeah, there's none of these that I'm looking at that's... The other one I was really excited about was Hunter got Deadeye, which is 2 mana. For the rest of the game, your hero power can target minions. So that's the same thing as Steamweedle Sniper did back in GVG, but it seems a lot like you'd actually use it. Steamweedle Sniper was never really a thing because it was hard to stick, but having a permanent effect on, you know, the game. And 2 damage for 2 mana is really good.
You're just a better mage. You are just...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, essentially at that point. Well, that's all well and good. The bigger news, obviously, is that we've got a few more cards. So we're still hyped for Witchwood. We've got less than a week until the reveal stream. But the good news is we actually had a blog post come out from the Hearthstone team with Dean Ayala talking a little bit about the even and odd mechanics, and won't go too far into them. If you want to listen to the last episode, I talked about Gengraymane and Baku, who like buff up your deck for only using even or odd cost cards, or buff up your hero power, actually, for that. And Hearthstone actually gave us four new cards with this blog post, which is like all of us are just starving and ready to see everything. So even having a little bit of mana from heaven is fantastic to get us through. And so we wanted to talk about a couple of these. And these are all class cards. And they have to do with rewarding you for doing the odd or even cost only things too. So Dean talked, he's Ixar also. He talked a lot in the video about how they really organized the legendary cards around what would make sense for you. Because having, I can't remember which is which off the top of my head, but just the fact that like a 1 mana hero power is going to be able to fill in the gaps a lot better. And a buffed up hero power is going to give you things in the late game to use your hero power for that is going to really be helpful. So it's going to be exciting to see if there's just how this shakes things up. I like that it's encouraging deck building in a certain way. And especially that they let out with it to let our brains just run rampant with something that's it's pretty complex, honestly, just thinking about, okay, what are the only odd cost cards in Shaman that I would use in order to get this to trigger? Or what are the only even, and because they really can only limit you to a certain offering there.
Right. And my favorite part about it is that we know we're going to get it. We start the game with that change to our hero power.
Yes.
So it's not on a random occurrence of you're not considering if I draw it. No, like I built my deck specifically so that now my hero power is this instead. And I love that idea.
For something that limiting, you better give it. I mean, you know, you don't have a chance at all for that tech to be effective if you're waiting to draw a 9-cost minion, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. So I totally agree with you. So again, we'll be saving most of these for the full review sets with Wicked Good that'll be coming out around mid-April. I mean, I assume that after this. After this reveal stream happens on the 26th, I believe.
I believe so.
Yeah, the 26th. I think we're going to have 2 full weeks of card reveal. And then that Friday, they're just going to unlock everything. So so Wicked Good and I will be good that next week to start running. So mark your calendar, Steve. I meant to tell you that. But, but of course, we'll be ready to go as soon as we get all these. So let's talk about these cards a little bit. One I wanted to talk about, we each chose one. The one I wanted to talk about was Gloomstag, which is a druid minion. He's 5 mana, 2 attacks, 6 health. He has taunt. And if your deck only has odd cost cards, he gains +2/+2 as a battle cry. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. If your deck has only odd cost cards, gain +2/+2. And he's a beast. So interesting to me. I mean, just on the surface level, a 5 mana, 4/8 with taunt is crazy.
That's big. Mean,
a 5 mana Fen Creeper is kind of the baseline for vanilla stats, which is a 3/6. So to go from a 3/6 to a 4/8 is pretty disgusting. But the bigger thing to think about is like, what would this card work in? And there's been some taunt mechanics that have sort of like creeped in and been, trying to push Druid in that way. But I think that this is the one that kind of draw it all together, because you look at some of the key cards, especially the big one is Hadronox, which is that 9-mana minion that brings back all of your all of your taunt minions. So that could be a big thing. And then you throw in other stuff like Fen Creeper, or I guess you couldn't do the Oakwood or the Ironwood Golem.
No.
There's probably some like early minions or stuff. I don't really know how it would all come together, because you obviously need more than just this. But even just the fact, honestly, that Hadronox could be a part of that makes it something that's worth tinking around with. The big things that you'd be missing out on are things like Swipe and Wrath and Ultimate Infestation. So I think it'll be interesting to see if we're in a good place where those things can be kind of left aside. But even with Starfall 6-mana, isn't it? I didn't think through this very well, I guess.
I still think it has a good chance to be good. The 1-mana Spellstone is still available as removal.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
You have, obviously, since you can't play UI, you can't play Wild Growth, but you still have Nourish. I think they're going to try this again. And they've tried this 3 times now, I think, at least. They're going to try to push Druid into a more aggressive mid-range situation. They want you to be more, more attacking. You can still play Mark of the Lotus. Oh, wait, no, that's rotating. So you can't play that.
Yes, it is.
But, they're going to try to, once again, push that mid-range play minions, go face type of strategy for Druid. Really probably push more on the Beast. I like it. I like them trying to push that, because we haven't really... We either see super, super hyper aggressive Druid, or take my time, ramp up to UI, hit you with a UI.
Are you talking about Jades? Are you talking about Jades? I think you are. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Now, you wanted to talk about another one that has kind of been the talk of the town, as it were, with this new expansion.
So there's another new card that they've shown for Mage. It's called Black Cat. It is a 3-mana 3/3 with spell damage +1. And if your deck only contains odd cards, it's Battlecry, draw a card. Now, if this card sounds eerily familiar to another card that was rotated to the Hall of Fame because it was played too much, it is arguably a better Azure Drake. It's spell damage, draw a card, 3-mana, 3/3. But the really fun concept I like about it is they made it be odd, so you can't play Frostbolt or Fireball with this card. So
kind of key cards for Mage.
I mean, I can't think of a Mage deck that I've played besides Quest Mage that didn't play those cards, really. Very few decks don't run either of those two spells. So I find it really interesting where it'll go.
So here's something for you, because Big Spell Mage doesn't really run either of those. Is this something you could fit in to kind of give yourself something early to play and cycle through your cards?
I didn't think about Big Spell Mage, but that sounds actually phenomenal. They still can play Dragon's Fury. They still can play Flame Strike.
Yep. The real scary thing is you've got Frostlich Jaina and Dragon Collar Alana that you can still use. So, like, you're getting rid of Meteor and Polymorph, I guess. And you're getting rid of a secret that we won't mention because no one wants to talk about it until it's rotating out. Blizzard is the other board clear that you're losing. But I feel like this is such a strong minion to lead out with that, holy cow, this is the thing to really make it worth reconstructing your whole deck around. And I can't remember off. So I'm going to have to check this out, because at this point we have to mention that the odd cost legendary will upgrade your hero power. That's Baku the Moon Eater. So you think so? This deck would have a deal 2 damage mana or a hero power, which we just mentioned. Pretty good. So you're looking pretty strong at this point, I think.
Yeah, it looks really strong. I really like this new build around mechanic for the decks, because they are limiting and playing. I think they put a lot of thought into this. I don't think it's a coincidence that Black Cat is odd cards, because a lot of the powerful iconic mage cards are even, particularly Frostbolt and Fireball. So it's a really cool build around mechanic. It's, I mean, we have to see the other 150 cards that are coming, but it has a lot of potential.
Left.
Yeah, just a few. We still have a few to see.
Even just looking at kind of the reveal calendar, or not calendar, but like what's left to be revealed, we haven't seen any Warlock cards, any Rogue cards, any Paladin cards, any Hunter cards. I mean, there's so much left to see. So so I'm really excited. But yeah, this is a pretty cool one for them to lead out with. And again, just get our brains just stirring up for what's to come.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take a quick sponsor break. And when I say quick, I really mean quick, because I do want to update you guys on where we're at with the Patreon. I mentioned it last week that we were kind of in a bind where I didn't know if the weekly episodes were going to be for sure every week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't say it enough, because you guys have already met and exceeded that goal. We're getting to a place where I feel a lot more comfortable that, okay, we don't really need to push on this. I'll always remind you guys, if you enjoy the show, that really supporting it through Patreon is always going to be much appreciated and get you some cool perks in the meantime. But just have to thank those of you who have either upped your donations or stepped in to fill the gap. It really means the world to me. And I have to let you guys know about a friend of the show, Spartacus Fett, who many of you guys know in the Twitter realm is a meme legend. He just creates Hearthstone memes like it's nobody's business. Was really involved with the United Hearthstone League unofficially too. He would just make memes about the matches that were coming up, and it was awesome and encouraging to see all that stuff. So he reached out to me and said, hey, I want to work out something so that we can encourage people to jump on the Patreon. So what we came to is that anyone who joins the Happy Hearthstone Patreon during this month, March 2018, at the $5 level or above, is going to get a custom designed Twitter banner or something similar if you don't use Twitter, that's made exclusively by him. So insanely generous. Thank you so much, Spartacus Fett, for really leading the charge. If you didn't see his post on Twitter, it was the Save the Clock Tower from Back to the Future. So I don't know if it's that extreme, but I still appreciate the heart behind it. And man, I mean, it's just a great deal to get something fun and well produced by him. And he's gonna let you kind of guide it. So if you want it to be around a certain card or a certain thing around Hearthstone, or probably something different, I'm sure he'd be up for that. It's just a great added benefit. So, and everyone who has been supporting the show at the $5 level or above, as long as you continue that through March, we'll get you that reward as well. I didn't want to just leave all the awesome patrons who have been in since the beginning or for several months out hanging. So I'm really thankful for his support specifically, and for all of you guys who have jumped on. So I really can't thank you enough. We have more goals that are coming in the hopper, and you can go and see those at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. So the weekly episodes are just the beginning. There's still more stuff, like giving out some coaching to people, and doing some live streaming of episodes, and even tournaments, which was the biggest requested thing on Twitter. That is a large thing for a single person to take on, but I'm willing to go there if we can hit these goals. So definitely go check it out if you haven't yet. If you have checked it out and you've been thinking about it, go do it. Support the show and be a part of the Happy Hearthstone. Would really, really appreciate that. Okay. I've got to take a 5-minute water break and let you talk to us here, Tyrant. For our main topic, we've got some stuff with the rotation that we're going to talk a bit more in depth about. But before we get into that, we talked a little about your experiences with EGLX and just with being competitive. I really wanted to hear from you about what that experience in Toronto was like, what you learned from it, what you're looking at for the future. So talk to us about kind of that competitive itch that you've got and what it meant to scratch it this last tournament.
Well, to start, I'm going to touch it. It wasn't my first major event. This was my third one. I went to, you mentioned we missed each other. We were both at DreamHack Denver, and I was at DreamHack Atlanta. And both of those events, I did pretty okay. I went 4-3 in Atlanta before dropping, and I went 6-3 at Denver, which I was fairly proud about. This event went a little worse than I wanted to. I went 0-3. Yeah, immediately.
That's not what anyone wants.
Not what two of the people I lost to were very high skill players. I lost to Sidonia in the first round, and I faced Doc Pon in the second round. Great guys. It was awesome playing. It was awesome to meet them. But, you know, I took an early drop. I dropped from the tournament about as early as you can because at that point you can't qualify for points with a 0-3 record. And it's, right. You know, it can be a little bit disappointing to gather the funds and make the trek and make that hotel reservation and figure out your lineup. And the whole time at the hotel before the event, your crunch time, checking all your deck lists. And after all of that work to just lose three rounds and be out.
There's nothing that can feel good about.
No. Not going to lie, it was, you know, I was a bit of a sourpuss for a little bit. But it's one of those things that you definitely need to take and learn from, because it's easy to say, oh, I got really unlucky in that one game, or wow, he had like one out of 16 cards and he drew it. And mm-hmm. it's easy to say that, but at the same time, you have to tell yourself, well, why was I in a position where I would lose if he had that card? And, you know, so you have to back up. And it's Hearthstone is one of those games where it looks like people get really lucky. And if you take it from that one turn, it you could probably argue that. But that one turn and that one situation was where it was at because of the 6, 7, 8, 10 turns before it. And so you have to go back and wonder, could I have played better? Because the answer is probably yes. Mm-hmm. You probably made a mistake somewhere. And that could be how you played your deck, how you mulliganed, the decks you brought to the tournament itself. All of these could be contributing factors to why you performed how you did. So to become a better player, it's really important to back up, emotionally detach, and say, okay, I bombed. There's no argument. But
just accept it.
Exactly.
Acceptance is the first step.
But why? You know, and it's really important to do that. You know, you can't run deck trackers when you're at these events, but when I'm on ladder, I do a similar process. If there's a game I lost and I'm wondering like, man, I had that in the bag, or wow, he drew that 1 out of 17. And I go, well, why was I in that position? So I would open up my the match and I would watch a replay of it just to see like, oh, turn 5, I took 3 damage that I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's little things like that that, you know, really can shape how outcomes occur 4 or 5 turns down the road. And it's really important to not get emotionally discouraged, not, you know, feel like, oh, I can never play this game at that level. Because Hearthstone, anybody can play at that level. You just have to be willing to look at the numbers, look at the odds, and be able to accept a loss, but also analyze why you lost there.
Yeah, and it could be any one of those things that you mentioned. It could also be a combination of them, which is hard because especially when you can't really pinpoint it. It's like, well, okay, I could have made some better tech choices for this deck, or even my deck selection going into round 2. Maybe that should have been different. There's just so many layers to that cake.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
You can't even for somebody like you who I know puts, you know, really good amounts of time and thought into something like this, having a turnout like that, it's like, well, that's a real possibility, you know, because you and I are not Tice or Tom 60229, who actually lost his match at the HCC Bangkok I saw today. So even the best players can lose, and there are just going to be times where we made some unfortunate choices, but we have to learn from them. What does learning from those mistakes look like for you?
Learning from those mistakes, what they look like to me is they really shape how I think of myself when I'm in the same game state the next time. I try to remember important games, you know, I try to remember games that I feel like I should have won because oftentimes, if your gut says you probably should have won that game, you very well may have been right. And you,
sure,
you know, and there has to be something to say about that. Now, obviously, when I say should have won that game, I mean that you had the ability to, not that you deserve to win, because you never deserve to win a game. So
right.
But you should want, you have to think back and go, what could have I done better? Should I? There had to be a point during that game where I could have put more pressure on my opponent, or been more defensive, or tried to draw more cards. There's so many avenues to look at, but it's really important to step back and look at that and really self-analyze on what happened, or even as simply, man, I was really tilted and I, you know, I got too aggressive, you know, that I've done it. I think most people have done it at some point or not, where they're frustrated, they're having a bad record, and they just start punching face. And, you know, sometimes that'll cost you the game too. So there's so many things that can contribute to a Hearthstone match. There's thousands of decisions made in one match. Yeah. And two or three of those can cost you that match. And you won't always be able to find the answer, but you have to let yourself try to look at it and say, well, I'm not sure what went wrong, but when I'm in this matchup again, I'm really going to pay attention and see where I could play that one a little better. And it's important to walk away and be happy and enjoy the event. Like, I walked away from the tournament and go, well, I can't, you know, I'm 0-3, but at least I can go to this beard oil stand and get some nice beard balm and essential oils for my beard. And that's how you spend the rest of the event. You know, you can still enjoy it and have a good time and talk to people and experience the event and the tournament and watch, you know, all the craziness in the top eight. There's still a lot of fun to be had. So it's important to enjoy the experience, not just the tournament. Yeah.
No, yeah. Just from my short time at DreamHack, I can't echo that enough. But I've talked about that plenty on the show before, so I won't inundate you guys with more of it. I totally agree, man. Well, when's your next one then? I have to ask. Do you have one on the books yet, or are you just trying to coast for now?
I'm going to do a little bit of coasting. I'm going to try to focus a little bit more on ladder and online tournaments in the next couple of months. But I have I am going to the next HCT tour stop in Canada. I want to say it's in Ontario, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's in November.
Okay.
And I'll be heading there for sure, 100%. And I'm actually going to be going with a few of my friends who play Hearthstone, but not super serious, but they want to go see it.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to make a little road trip out of it, and we're really looking forward to it.
No, I think that's great. I mean, you know, there's something to be said not only for bringing people with you, because, I mean, it's fun just going by yourself and getting to connect with people, but especially when you at least have people that you're going to meet up with or that you're bringing with you, like, that adds a whole other layer of it being fun. But I think there's something to be said for people who aren't competitive, don't even want to be competitive, to go and just experience the atmosphere and the energy and, like, watching high stakes Hearthstone and stuff like that. That really, it just kind of grows your love of the game and of the community and stuff in ways that I don't know anything else really can in that same vein. I mean, watching a tournament on Twitch, that can kind of do it, but I mean, going is just, oh man, it's something else.
Yeah, it's not the same. I honestly, anyone listening, if you enjoy Hearthstone, if it's a game you like, maybe you don't take it competitively, but it's a game you truly enjoy and you like talking about it, please go to one of these events and just experience it once, because it is a blast. If you're competitive or not, it's, you know, when you go to these events, you usually pay for a weekend pass. Usually they're like $50, and then the tournament sign up is free. You know, you can walk into the tournament free of charge. I really encourage anyone to do it, because it enhances the love of the game so much.
It's well worth putting the pennies in your piggy
bank. Absolutely.
And if you don't have one of those available, you definitely need to go check out a Fireside Gathering at some point, because they're popping up all over the place. I know even here in Colorado Springs, where just a year ago I was lamenting that there would never be anything out here, but I've been to a couple. So, and you can go to firesidegatherings.com to search for events that are in your area. And I mean, come on, you get an MZ, so you gotta go. If it's established, absolutely. It's got to be established. But Nemzy is well worth it. All right, man. Well, let's jump into this this rotation talk that you got for us, too.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to do a little last hurrah for the year of the Mammoth. And Andrew and I picked two or three cards, archetypes that we're going to be happy that are going to be getting out and give a little bit of fresh air to the game. And then two or three that we're going to miss and playing with and playing around with. Did you want me to start, Andrew?
Yeah, you go
lead it.
Go ahead and
kick
us off. Yep.
All right. A couple of archetypes that I'm going to miss from this year of the Mammoth and this rotation coming. I think this is – some people might not agree with me here, but I'm going to miss Jade. I think it's a
–
yeah, it's a very simple mechanic, and I'll never pretend that it's a super skill-intensive mechanic. But it's a fun one. It's easy to understand for all levels of play. And overall, I think Jade is a very balanced mechanic besides one card, Jade Idol.
Hey, there we go.
Jade Idol, in a way, tarnished the Jade archetype because no other Jade archetype could really stand up to the power in the late game that Jade Idol had. And I think if Jade Idol didn't exist, it would just be – it wouldn't be a played archetype, but it sure would be fun, and it would be fun for all levels of play. So I'm going to miss the concept of making bigger and bigger green dudes.
Now, did you have more fun with the Rogue or Shaman variants? Because honestly, like, Jade Rogue was always the thing I wanted to work that I never felt like quite did. Did you have fun with those instead? Or
I played all the Jade decks. I played Jade Rogue for a little bit. There was I forget when it was. There was a very short window where it was actually kind of okay. I played it then for a little bit. I played a good bit of Jade Shaman at the beginning of the expansion, and it was like that late game, you know, grinding it out, had white eyes and all that good stuff. And
oh yeah.
But I'll be honest. I was a dirty, dirty Jade Druid player. I was like, yes, give me that turn five.
Come on, man.
UI. Oh, the Innervate UI before when UI was good.
Ugh. Yeah. Now for a time, all of us were Jade Druid players who cared about their ladder ranking because Jade Druid was just unstoppable in the in the Frozen Throne meta. I think it was like at the beginning of that, right after Spreading Plague was out.
I think if you had Innervate, it was feasible to like. Turn four with coin Innervate UI if you double ramped.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was
so disgusting.
Yeah. There's nothing like turn fouring a UI on somebody. That's an experience.
Well, and I think I've said this.
You can't
before,
have anymore. It's worth unfortunately.
Yeah, it's worth saying again that with Jade Idol rotating out, I think Ultimate Infestation isn't going to be as insanely overpowered as we've felt it has for a time. I mean, you'll notice in the past month or two that it really hasn't been a thing at all. And I'm not quite sure why Jade. Well, I guess we've got combo decks and aggro decks, so those will shut down Jade pretty quick. But I think that Ultimate Infestation is going to feel a bit more fair when you're drawing into the very back end of your deck and drawing into Fatigue so much faster. It's sort of like a light Aluneth in a way. So it's probably better for the game overall that Jades are going to be retired into the wild side.
Agreed. So next one, the next card I'm going to miss, this one's less of a mechanic and more of one specific card, and that's going to be Nazoth. I love Nazoth. It's such a cool mechanic. It's really cool to have a neutral win condition for any deck that wants to go focused into the death rattle. Before we had Void Lords, it was a while since Nazoth was super, super good. But I'm going to miss it because the death rattle archetype, I think, is really fun and really cool to build around. And I worry that it's going to be too weak without Nazoth. I hope that Death Rattles, we can still play around with that mechanic if we can ever play the Priest Quest.
Oh my
god. Tier 2 deck. I'm going to miss that card. It was a really cool neutral mechanic. I thought it was fair. It could be dealt with, but it required building around, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it gives you just so much late game. It's insane, you know, and I will be apt to dip my toes into wild to bring back some Nazoth decks, you know, like, or like a good Nazoth Jade Rogue. I mean, that's, you know, getting back those little Jade Swarmers will be good. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's just going to make some space for some other cool mechanics that are going to maybe mess around with Death Rattle in a new way. Cause I think Naxxramas was rotated out when Nazoth first came.
So
it'll be interesting if this is like a new realm of Death Rattle. Maybe we'll even see it in the Witchwood, because I mean the Witchwood is creepy and like spooky and like death is, you know. I don't know.
if there's ever a set that speaks to haunted creeper coming back,
it's, oh come on man. It's gotta happen.
But okay, so the final one, this is going to be another archetype one for me, is the dragon archetype. I'm going to miss dragons. I am part of the dragon army. I love dragons. Mm. But specifically when it comes to the dragon archetype, I'm going to miss Draconoid Operative and Netherspite Historian. They were such high value cards. They gave you so much recursion. It let you basically have draw mechanics in your deck without having cards that specifically drew cards. And I also liked the dragon mechanic a lot more than the elemental one, because the elemental one felt a lot more restrictive. You had to play them in a certain order. And sure, whereas yeah. dragons just relied that your deck had a certain percentage of that type to be consistent. And you did have to play, I think it was like 7 or 8 dragons was considered the optimal, quote unquote, number of dragons to have in a dragon deck. But I'm going to miss that archetype and being able, well, I'm going to just miss Draconoid Operative the most. Just the counterplay and the scenarios that card created. Like, I don't know. I've gotten 2 Dead Man's Hands off Draconoid Operative against a Dead Man's Hand Warrior.
Oh my gosh.
That's funny.
that's just ridiculous. I mean, I'll honestly say that I'm not going to miss these cards like you do. And mostly it's because of the mirror match where one person guaranteed gets unlimited Draconid operatives and the other person just doesn't ever get that option.
Yeah, that feels pretty bad.
but that's probably just my bitter speaking. Because really, Netherspite Historian is a pretty cool card that really hasn't had its day. But, you know, Draconid Operative came to us in Mean Streets of Gadgetzan far long after Blackrock Mountain. So I think it's fair to say we still could see a card or two that, you know, take hold of the have a dragon in your hand mechanic. And I don't know, maybe we'll see a little resurgence. I don't know that dragons are just always going to be a thing of the past. You know, I
hope not.
I think it would make sense to have a little subset in an expansion, kind of rebirth dragons a bit.
There's got to be. Who doesn't like dragons?
Come on,
big
man.
Fire-breathing dragons, right?
Yeah.
So Andrew, what are some cards and mechanics that you're going to miss?
So one I put on here was hand buff stuff, which was mostly the Gadgetzan era and mostly the Paladin era. I was trying to think of stuff other than the Grime Street Outfitter and Informant and stuff like that really did those mechanics. But I felt like that whole idea never really had its day. And maybe it's a good thing because it seems like it could be too powerful. I mean, you look at how Kel'Seth changed the game by buffing everything up. And maybe it's a good thing that buffing stuff up doesn't become too widespread. But I felt like that, especially with the Lifesteal and the Chillblade Champion, which that'll still be around. But I felt like there was more potential than was realized there. So I will miss those things, and we'll kind of be that'll be another thing that'll be interesting to see as the wild meta develops and new cards are added, if that actually does find a resurgence in some way.
I'm so glad you mentioned the hand buff, because it was a really cool idea. And I think you're correct when you say that it probably had the potential. It was probably a really hard line of it not being quite good enough for competitive play, but if it was just a little bit stronger, it might have been way over the top, too powerful. I thought it was a really cool idea, though.
Yeah, there have been some games I've just completely been run over by the hand buff deck, and they're few and far in between, but sometimes when they get the nuts, it can be a little too bad. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. The other one I'm going to miss is Fandral. Our good friend, Fandral Staghelm, is going to be retired into Wild. And I just thought, I remember the first time seeing that card and thinking, wait, what? The choose ones, you get both of them? Like, it was just this
blew my mind.
Exactly. It was like, why didn't I think of that mechanic before, you know? But I feel like he has had his day in plenty. And I have a prediction. I was trying to remember when I had this. It's like totally, if you've ever heard of a shower thought, that's just a random thought that you have throughout the day. But especially if you do some good thinking in the shower, I think that this was a Hearthstone shower thought that I wonder if Fandral is rotating out because, and I always wonder this, if things are getting rotated out because there's something coming that if it were combined with that would be way too powerful. And I started thinking, well, what could we see in this next set? And I started thinking about Echo. And I'm wondering if there's going to be a Druid spell card that has a choose one mechanic and has Echo on it. And if it did, and you had Fandral on the board, that could get out of hand just so fast.
Oh, that would be disgusting. If it was like a two mana card, you could just play it like five times and get both effects.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would assume it'll probably be a higher cost mana, somewhere in the three or four maybe. Actually, I guess, I mean, really you get to four mana and it's like, what's the point of having Echo in it? You can play it twice. So I don't know. But yeah, two or three mana with Fandral, you get whatever effects both times. That could be bad for the game. So I will miss Fandral, and I do wonder what is coming to take his place. But the last thing that I have to say I'm going to miss is our good friend from the Warlock class, Renounce Darkness.
Renounce Darkness.
Buddy, you never saw your day. What happened? You were a meme that was waiting to become something great.
Rip memes.
And actually, yeah, you were just a terrible card, honestly. But I still will miss the insanity that was some Twitch streams and Renounce Darkness and all that, because that was always a good time. But I'm sure we'll see some more fun cards come in the kitty.
I've never had the guts to play that in a ranked game, but I've had some fun arena games with the Renounce Darkness. I've had a blast with that card.
I mean, you don't have a ton to lose at that point, unless you have like a really good deck, but there are worse cards you could choose in arena, that's for sure.
That is true.
Well, so now we've covered what we are going to miss. What are you not going to miss, Tyrant?
All right, there's for number one, and this one is like head and shoulders above the other ones that I'm going to list here. But I am not going to miss Barnes.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to miss Barnes. Barnes is a broken card. It's just such a silly card. It leads to really, really unfair mechanics. And it's also, if it was obviously intended to play with, I think it was intended to play with more than just Yashiraj in your deck.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And but so not only is it can be used in unhealthy ways like that, but in the way it was designed, it's random, you know. And I'm not a big fan of super random effects, and when the options are be really random in Hyrule or be like 20% of my games, I get a turn for Yashiraj. Yep. I don't see anything good coming out of this card. It's just I think it creates a lot of feel bad moments, and I'll be glad to see it go.
I will really be interested to see if Big Priest lives on in Standard, because they still have the six mana, not Embrace Darkness, Shadow Essence. Which can cheat something out early. But without Yashiraj, I mean, we're going to probably have to see some pretty significant minions or spells that do similar things. Although our good friends who are wild players have been banging on that drum for a long time that Barnes needs a change. And still nothing official yet. But we'll for the rest of us, and maybe even for you wild players, Standard can be a safe place where you don't have to worry about Barnes, even for just a short time.
Yeah, so get in the nice little Standard bubble where you don't have to see that scary card for a little bit.
That's right. I think it was meant to be the opposite, but it's okay. You can do it. You can come hang out.
I think, you know, rolling a little bit back with to what you said, I think Big Priest can still be okay. you know, like it loses its super high roll potential, but I've lost it to Big Priest because they just turned six, made a Lich King or something and went right, crazy right. from there. So I don't know. It's going to weaken the deck, but I, especially depending on what it gets from the new set, it could definitely be still a viable option.
I, you know, without Shadow Word Horror, that's actually a really big piece of the puzzle that might not be so good.
That's
for
That's a big one. Yeah.
But at least they have Spirit Lash, yeah. kind of. It just won't be quite as powerful. But
I guess anyway. I guess Priest will just have to deal with having Psychic Scream. Geez.
I mean, God. Oh,
poor
Come
Priest.
On, guys.
So the second grouping of cards I'm going to mention here that I will not miss being in the game will be the Portal cards from Karazhan. I mentioned particularly... I'm going to say quote unquote the good ones, but Maelstrom Portal and Firelands Portal. And the reason I'm not a big fan of those cards is just the fact that I feel like the minion range is far too wide. And really, like the average of the cards of like Firelands Portal is like a 5/5. And it's so good at that point that you play it, even though you have a chance to low roll really hard and get a 2/2 that deals 5 to you. And honestly, if Firelands Portal, instead of giving me a random 5 cost minion, if it was just deal 5 damage, get a 5/5 elemental, although admittedly, it would be a lot less exciting.
Right.
It wouldn't be as an interesting card. It wouldn't create the, whoa, I got the earth elemental moments. But I think it would be a lot more fair and just like, cool, I can play this card and I have a rough idea of what I'm going to get, you know, like the range with Firelands Portal, I think it's just a little too big the feel fun. Cause there's just a lot of, again, I've said this in a couple of the other things I said that I don't like, but like it can create a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
Moments.
And those have to happen in order for somebody to feel good. But I think that there's a better balance that can come out of that. I actually had an arena game this week where I played Firelands Portal that I got off I was a mage in that one. So I must've had Firelands Portal and I got the Firbolg Mossbinder off of it, which is the 5-mana 1/1 that transforms a friendly minion into a 6/6 elemental. So, I mean, that 1/1 drops on the field and it's just like, all right, I guess I dealt 5. And I think I had to deal 5 damage to like a 6-health minion and my opponent could deal with it. So it was like, okay, that totally wasted my turn.
That was my turn.
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good.
I agree with you though. I think that it's they've had their time in the sun and it's probably a good time for them to take a little nap.
Much agreed there. Final card that I will not miss is Ice Block. Goodbye, Ice Block.
I've heard of this card.
Yeah, have you seen it before, Andrew? Is that a card you've ran into once or twice?
I think there was one time, but I thought he just made up the card or something.
He just scribbled it down.
I don't even know. Now, is this a card you've hated since the beginning, or has it just been like a ramping up thing into the fury of now?
You know, I can't even say I hate the card. I don't like the other two things I've said prior to here. Ice Block, I don't have tons of a problem with. Functionally, I think it's a little broken. I won't argue that. And I think that's part of because it's 3-mana. But it's more because it's been here since Hearthstone has been Hearthstone. And, you know, that's a long time for that card to be here. And that card has been absolutely definitive in how Mage has played since Hearthstone, since Mage is ever competitive. Most of the time, there's not many good mage decks that don't play Ice Block. Even the tempo mage lists run Ice Block most of the time. And I'm excited to see a new angle for Mage. Whether it's more control that focuses on gaining armor with that new one drop that they got from the current set. I forget the name of it. Do you remember the name of that card?
The Arcane Artificer.
Thank you. Yes, the Artificer. They might go in that control route. It might go in a far more aggressive route where it doesn't even try to get, it doesn't need that free turn. But either way, I'm really excited to see Mage have to find a new identity than the deck that can't die. So,
I think you just hit the nail on the head that with Artificer, with Frostlitz Jaina, they've got so much late game potential as far as like building up, you know, a barrier so that you can't get through. But then for Secret Mage to just be able to throw it in and say, oh, I get one extra turn. It's like, I don't know if that really makes sense to, it feels great for that player, but for the person against it, it's just like, if I got you down to zero, I feel like I should win the game. At this point.
I don't know about you, but I think the moments that feel the worst is when they get that third ice block. Off of Primordial Glyph. You just didn't die for three turns and then you combo me.
You're congratulations, I did not win that game.
Yep.
Thank you. I think that's where I might throw a thank you emotin or something. As much as I try not to be him, I can't help but to... Oh my gosh, just crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what about you, Andrew? What are some biggies that you're glad are going to be leaving?
Right, so my tools actually formed around like archetype, or my not misses were around archetypes, and I'll kick it off with the Secret Mage one since we're talking about that, because Ice Block is one of those, but we'll also see Cabal Crystal Runner and Medivh's Valet rotate out, and I think Medivh's Valet has just proven to be so crazy.
So good.
And I think it's going to be good for Mage to find some new identities overall. Now, I think the big spell Mage is going to be pretty grindery, and I might be more frustrated with that than I am with the Secret Mage that just gets the nuts. Because, I mean, they're still going to have Mana Worm, Sorcerer's Apprentice, and I'm trying to think of the early game. Well, I guess the secrets that they do have, like Explosive Runes. Cabal Lackey's also rotating out, too.
That's true.
But I think that if they get one card to kind of fill the Cabal Crystal Runner void that's left out, that they'll be fine. I actually remember I made a Secret Mage on stream once, and I totally forgot about Cabal Crystal Runner, and I won like four games in a row. And then when I realized I forgot him, it's like, well, I have to put them in because they have to be in Secret Mage. But I don't know. Maybe the deck doesn't need it that much. I do think the Firelands Portal is another one, like you mentioned, that'll affect that as well too.
Absolutely. Though. I mean, like there's, you know, Secret Mage has that potential for those hands where they just go turn one, worm coin, free secret with a 2/1, and to turn two Frostbolt, and to turn three Kirrentor Mage with another free secret, and you know you don't even need that free 5/5 sometimes. Sometimes
right,
you just
right.
hit them with a 7/3 mana worm, you know, and
you're good to go.
Exactly.
The other one I'm not going to miss is all the aggro druid tools that are rotating out. So Mark of the Lotus, you mentioned. Mark of Yashiraj is rotating out. Enchanted Raven will be gone. And I feel like there's maybe one more. But I think that aggro druid, even though it's not really prevalent right now, it just has that insane burst potential at the very beginning of the game to snowball to a place where you just can't come back on it. So I think, you know, we talked about the Gloom Stag. Was that the threat? Yeah, the Gloom Stag. Just kind of like new identities for Druid. And I think Druid's one that has been so, I mean, Combo Druid was a thing for so long. Jade Druid was a thing for so long. Big Druid, is that still going to be a thing? I guess Jade Blossom is rotating out. But Greedy Sprite's here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, and we still have a couple of ramp options for Druid, and I think it's always going to be good as long as we have Ultimate Infestation, to be completely honest. Like,
that's fair,
you know, as long as that card is available, it rewards being a control deck so much that I think I want other archetypes to be good for Druid, but I think that one will always be around in somewhere like at least a tier 3 area.
Sure. I agree, and I think that what we're both saying is it's just time for a little bit of newness there. So
yeah,
excited to see that. And speaking of newness, I have to say that the last class or archetype I'm not going to miss is all of the tools that Zoo has had, because Zoo has been around for a hot second. I don't know if you've seen that deck before.
I love me some Zoo.
But with Malkazar Zimp rotating out, Darkshire Councilman is a big one that's rotating out now. I think Zoo is always going to be around. I just don't see a world where it's not. unless they just completely change things up big time. But I think that those two cards especially are just, it's just going to be a good thing. Blood Fury Potion's gone, but not as big of a deal with that, I guess. I'm really interested to see, and I'll hit, I don't know if you saw this, friend who hosts Realm Maintenance podcast, Ro, he tweeted, and actually now he hosts Hearth Casual, which is a new Hearthstone podcast about the casual side of Hearthstone. And he tweeted out wondering if Doomguard would get the rush mechanic, which we didn't get to talk about in the last episode, but it's basically charge, except you can't attack the hero the turn that you're summoned. What if Doomguard got rush? Would that change things dramatically?
I think it would, yeah. Two cards is a lot. And to throw away two cards and not be able to attack face is going to be a pretty hard sell. Because most of the time, if I have to play Doomguard to trade, I'm behind.
Yeah,
like, I'm not in a good position. Yeah, so you want that Doomguard be doing five to the face, and yeah. It might still be playable, you know, because it's still a 5/7 for five with some sort of charge effect. Mm-hmm. But it would be a lot harder to argue. But I think either way, Zoo is going to be around. You know, I think Malkasar's Imp was a little too strong. Just a little bit, because it made cards like Doomguard have no downside.
Right.
You know, you could even argue it was an upgrade because it was, all right, I'm going to throw away these one drops that I don't want and hope to find more big drops. You know? So I'm okay with it going too, because it led to some pretty crazy snowball situations if you couldn't kill that imp.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing overall. Well, any closing thoughts about the rotation and what we got coming up with that?
The only thing I can think of is I'm really excited to see a new identity. I think a lot of the current standard that we've been playing for a long time, up until the most recent nerfs with patches, we saw a tremendous amount of mechanics from early in the year throughout show a high presence up until very recently. Mm-hmm. You know, pirates were good for the vast majority that they existed. And Jade was good for the vast majority they existed. And dragons were good for the vast majority they existed. Yeah, Barnes is still good. And all of these cards, you know, they had such a high presence in the game from when they came in to now that I think I'm excited to just see people have to make brand new decks. A lot of decks will just simply not function without a lot of these cards. And I'm excited. That's what makes card games fun, is now we have to build something new and we're going to have a new meta, mm-hmm. and a new tier list. And that's the best time to play card games.
Yeah. And if you haven't gotten, or if you've gotten into Hearthstone more recently and haven't seen a set rotation like this, this is a really exciting time because like Tyron said, it opens up an entirely new spectrum of cards to be viable that just plain weren't before, you know, because there were better cards. But now that those better cards are rotating out, maybe there's room for other stuff. You start to see a lot more classic or basic cards just kind of come out of nowhere, or cards that we had forgotten about from sets that have been released over the past year. So it really is exciting. I mean, obviously we're hyped for new cards, and that will temper everything as far as which decks are viable and what people are going to be excited to play. But the fact that I don't even know how many cards, it's what, 270, it's somewhere around 300, 350 cards that are rotating out, that none of those can be used now in standard. And so now what are we going to play with? You know,
it cuts our cards in half. Yeah, that's it. It's scary, but it's exciting.
Those odd even decks cut your deck or cut your cards by half again.
Yeah.
So it's like even more so.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our community section. No questions this week. I'll be sure to jump into Twitter and ask you guys something in our Google Plus community to get the pot stir. And I seem to get a lot more from you guys when we talk on there, and I throw something that's low hanging fruit. But if you do have anything that's been on your mind that you think might make good for good conversation, please feel free to email the show at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. I'd be honored to talk through that on the show. And we did actually have an iTunes review this week. So really excited for that. Thank you, Nate Dog HS. He said, great HS podcast. I love the podcast. New listener, but I'm hooked and will be listening every episode. I love the positivity. It's very happy and inviting. You do such a great job. And thank you for mentioning your Scary Faith blog. That's been encouraging and uplifting and a great reminder of whose we are and what is most important in life. Keep up the great work. Thanks. Dude, that's like, you just like wrecked me with all of that. So thank you so much. You know, I work hard to make the show what it is. And I thankfully we have such a good community that continues to come on and pour into the show like Tyrant did for this episode. And it's just, it really is a special thing. So I'm glad that you enjoy it so much. And I'm glad that the blog encouraged you as much as it did too. If you hadn't had a chance to check that out, you can look. I think I've got a new post that's going up this week at scaryfaith.com. It's just my personal musings on my faith journey and life, stuff totally unrelated to Hearthstone. So if you're here for the cards, just keep listening to the podcast. But if you're interested to see the other multi-dimensions of Andrew Brown, you can go check that out too. So, but I want to get to know the different dimensions of Typical Tyrant, which would mean that in order to see that, I need to stop listening to you speak and I need to start listening to your soul sing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, you are going to have a disappointment.
I severely doubt that. I know you've been working on this, man. Let's go, man. It's time for the card of the week.
Okay.
Bring me into it.
All right. As we play on with rotation, you'd still be here when I thought I won from a scientist or arcanologist. You were kind of lame. Welcome to the Hall of Fame.
And what's the card, man?
That would be Ice Block. So, goodbye.
And that's all we need to say about. No, I'm just kidding. dude, that was perfect. That was like a graduation. Like, man, we're moving on. We're moving into new territory.
Yeah,
was,
I'm so glad you noticed that. I got meta. I had levels to that.
So I wasn't upset at all or disappointed. Dude, that was maybe the deepest song I've heard in a while. So.
Oh, thank you. I put work into that.
That's good. We've talked about it a little bit already, but now we just have to wonder, like, is there a world where Ice Block comes back out of Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, I think one day I hope they start bringing some of the cards that they brought out back in. You know, and spice it up. It would be cool to see Ragnaros back out of nowhere in a year or two down the road, you know, and cards like that. So I think there's a potential for it. I don't think
maybe even for like a month or something.
Oh yeah.
Maybe they just unleash all the Hall of Fame back on us or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, or like maybe even as simple as one of the special arena events, except like, it'll be like standard, except there's nothing, all the Hall of Fame cards are available. Or that were in Classic or things like that or something. It would be nice to see those cards be played around with again.
Giving me ideas for format for Fireside Gatherings or something like that. Well, then let me just ask, because I'm thinking it, who is that on the card art for Ice Block? That's not Jaina, is it?
For Ice Block? I don't think... No, that is definitely not Jaina. That is... generic mage. So that's all I can say.
Well, generic mage, you are out of here. So I wonder if there's details that I can find. No, I guess not.
Yeah, there might be something to it. You know, there's so many inner things with a lot of this art that I'm sure there's a lore person saying that this person, there was probably a quest giver somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah, something like that. It looks like the artwork actually came from the World of Warcraft TCG. So there's
Okay.
And a lot of the classic or not a lot, but several of the basic and classic cards do have that. I can't find anything else though that the notes. If you know, Lore Master Eve, if you're listening, I mean, she's my go-to for knowing everything about everything when it comes to the lore. If you know who this is on Ice Block, I'd be interested. And we got to know fast.
Yeah, she doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Very good. Well, let's go ahead and close up the show. Just want to close it up by reminding you, as always, that you are the Happy Hearthstone. So thankful for you guys stepping up to support and help this show to grow and just be an influence in the community. You know, I think it was one of the reviews last week that I read that said a lot of times Hearthstone community can be get a bad rap for being negative in nature. Usually that's people who just kind of screen through the Twitch chat or Reddit posts of the most popular things out there. But really, I've just been so overwhelmed by you guys saying, like, no, the show's important. I want it to keep going. I want it to grow and get better. It's just such a huge, mega big deal. So I want to encourage you again to go check it out if you haven't yet at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Again, $5 a month or more, you can get one of those exclusive Spartacus Fett. Not exclusive. Well, it is exclusive, but what's the word I'm looking for? Personalized Twitter images or whatever you like for that. So at the end of the month, I'll be contacting all of you who are at that level and connecting you so you can get the genius that is Spartacus Fett. And I have to send, as always, a huge thank you to Drunken Monk, Jordan L., and Calvin Horn for being producers of the Happy Hearthstone. You guys have been the backbone for this show. So, I mean, every person, no matter what amount you're giving, it makes a big difference. You guys are just doing that in a really special way. And you haven't just done that by being at the highest level. You've really done that in your influence and in our conversations to really help the show get better. So truly thankful for each of you guys as a friend and as a supporter of the show. And you can always leave a review on iTunes like Nate Dog did. And let other people know what you thought about the show. It helps others to find it. It's really a big deal, and it only takes a couple of minutes. I have to give a couple of shout-outs real quick just because I forgot them at the top of the show. But I have to shout-out to my friend Boticus over at Coinkin Seed. He and I actually put in an entry for the So You Think You Can Cast competition that Hearthstone was doing. So if you hadn't heard about that, they've done this, I think, once a year since the esports scene has kind of taken off for Hearthstone, but put a call out to the community for open auditions, basically, for people to come and be commentators at their collegiate championships that are coming up. So Boticus and I thought, let's go ahead and try it out, see what happens. And we really felt proud of what we came together and made. Both of us are our own worst critics, so we still think we could do better. But at some point, you just have to be okay with it and throw it in there. So really thankful for him doing that. If you guys are interested in checking it out, it's on the Happy Hearthstone's YouTube channel. And the link for that is in the show notes. You can find that. And also have to give a big shout out to my friend Ferris Biscuit, who just announced the other day that United Hearthstone League is coming back for a second season, which is so exciting. The first season was a blast to be a part of. If you guys checked it out at all, you know it was a great chance to just see some really fun people from the community, from different podcasts or content creators, getting together and competing under a really fun and united banner. So really thrilled that they're coming back for a second season. You'll have to stay tuned to hear about the roster and the upcoming great stuff that he has for new features and stuff like that. It's going to be back and better than ever. So again, all of this I'll point you to at thehappyhearthstone.com. You can check out the full show notes. Find my Twitter, the email to email into the show, the Google Plus community, my Twitch, all that kind of stuff. But I've spoken for far too long, Tyron, and I would love for you to speak for a bit and tell us how we can stay connected.
Okay, well, first, I want to say a big thank you to Andrew. Thanks for letting me come on. This was a blast. I hope to come back. I was really excited to have you had me on here.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
I want to make a shout out real quick to a good friend of mine, Clark Hellscream. We also did the Do You Think You Can Cast event, and we did a recording together.
Awesome. It was so fun to do.
Yeah, that was such a blast. I enjoyed it. But we're also...
You guys would be a great team.
We did okay. I thought I liked it. I was happy with it.
Good.
We're doing a contest in April. Him and I have organized it where we are going to do, at the beginning of April, we're going to do a ladder grind contest. It's friendly. There's no cost. If you go to either his Twitter page or my Twitter page, at Typical Tyrant, I have a pinned tweet. It's just a Google Doc. You fill in three things and you're entered. And the first eight people that hit legend in April that sign up are going to be put into a single elimination tournament. And the winner will get a set of packs. So That's just awesome. A fun little community event. I want everyone to feel like they can jump into it. Like I said, it's free. It's just a fun event. So please come sign up and talk. It's just a cool way to start the season. Just a little bit of a shout out to myself to find me. Like I said, my Twitter is Typical Tyrant. And I do stream on Twitch.tv/TypicalTyrantHS. And I stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday starting at 5 p.m. And I'm usually on for about 3.5-4 hours minimum.
And is that Eastern time zone?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, that is. That's Eastern time, yes.
Perfect. And you guys definitely want to go check it out. I mean, Tyrant's become a friend, but he's a good streamer too. So you go learn yourself a thing or two if you go and hang out with him. So have you been able to hit Legend this month? I should have asked that far sooner than the very tail end of the show.
Yeah, I hit Legend. I hit it a little late because I practiced a lot for EGLX. And when I got back from EGLX, I crunched Legend out real quick. And now I've been just floating around on the ladder trying some decks before I try to make a decent grind to an okay finish. Right now I'm somewhere in, I don't know, the depths of thousands away in Legend. You know, I've been trying decks.
Which is far better than like 98% of people or players or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But you're definitely going to learn something if you go and hang out. And so definitely go throw him a follow and watch him. It's a good time, man. It's been a great time having you on the show as well. So really thankful that you got to be here. Thankful that you're a listener, man, and a supporter of the show. And it's been great wrapping up the – man, I especially feel like with that Card of the Week song that, man, we're like transitioning. Like my heart is ready for the next season, man. And I have no one to thank but you for that. So thanks so much for being on.
You are quite welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure, man. And hey, thank you guys again so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.